disappointed that in some coaching hires they made in the last 5 years, 6 years, and I'm disappointed in where the program is in recruiting right now. I'm disappointed that the head coaches decided not to take a quarterback. But that does not mean that the quarterback can't play well. This past year, I didn't think Ty Simpson. Now Simpson's is a rocket arm quarterback. Where Vecina doesn't have that kind of arm talent, I don't feel like. But with that said, Simpson, I came on here and ripped all year long from what he looked like in the offseason. And naturally, if you get reps with the ones, you're going to look a lot better. But I got to be honest with you, I didn't see Ty Simpson throwing for 3,500 yards and 28 touchdowns and 5 picks this year. I didn't see that happening. And Vecina can improve. And Vecina, like I told you yesterday, I think that Vecina does some things really well. I think his pocket presence is better than Cade Klubnik. That's not saying a whole lot. But you go back and watch the SMU game, which I did over the weekend, and his pocket presence is really good. Like, stepping up in the pocket, he did that better than Cade. There was no panic in the pocket like Cade had sometimes. There was not frantically peeing on the carpet type moments. He protected the football. And I think he gets through his progressions better. Now, again, that's not saying a whole lot either. But there are things that he does well. I don't think he is quick decision maker in the run game. And I don't think he has great acceleration run game. I think he takes a long time to get going in the run game. And the major thing there is that the one kryptonite to all of it is that the arm strength is just not – it's not a major arm. So, but look, Danny Werfel didn't have a strong arm and won the Heisman Trophy. The thing is, it's got to come out earlier. It's got to come out before the breaks. If not, if you wait to after the breaks to throw the football, man, that thing's coming back. Now the opposing team's band's playing. Like, it's a pick six and it's going the other way. You're not going to see a whole lot of right hash to left sideline throws. Like, that ain't the 15-yard out, whatever, down the field, whatever. You won't see a lot of that. And if it is, it's got to come out way, way, way early. So that's the deal there. As far as Clemson win game goes, I'm not going to do the win game in that that we don't have the dates of all the games yet. So I want to go through the order. When do you play someone's really important. But as far as win losses go, I don't see Clemson going into Baton Rouge and winning. I don't see Georgia Southern beating Clemson. I don't see Charleston Southern beating Clemson. And outside of that, I think you got about 9 toss-ups. I'm not being facetious when I say this. Right now, I don't know. Because, well, South Carolina's offensive line right now.
We don't know who's on it.
We don't know. At Cal. I mean, I want to think Clemson's better than Cal. Cal will have the quarterback advantage. And then at Cal, I don't know how you can react to that. Georgia Tech at home. I don't think there's a whole lot of difference in those two talent levels. We'll have to see how the season goes. I think Miami's going to be better than Clemson next year. And I think LSU's going to be better than Clemson next year. And I think Clemson will be better than Georgia Southern and Charleston Southern. But I think you got basically 8 single-digit toss-up games. I'm not crazy about North Carolina yet, but there's still a lot of work to be done in the portal. I am crazy about Virginia Tech with Grunkemeyer or whatever, the quarterback from Penn State. And James Franklin, that's a whole different challenge now. At Duke, you got to go up there and face Mensa. Mm-hmm. And he lost 2 in a row to Duke. You go to Florida State, and I don't know if it's going to be Lagway. I don't know who's going to be the quarterback yet, but I don't know that one. And then at Syracuse, I don't feel great about going to the Dome at this point in time with the outfit Clemson's going to have. The hope is the defense will be a lot better. The hope is you can go to Syracuse and win, beat North Carolina, win at Cal, beat Charleston Southern, Georgia Southern, beat either Florida State or South Carolina, beat you're not going to beat LSU, don't feel like. I don't think you beat Miami. I think those are better than you. But besides that, I mean, I think you can win any game and lose almost every game.
I think if Vegas were going to set the win total right now, I think they would set it at 8.5.
I'd say 7.5 to 8.
I'd go under 8.5. 7.5. Yes. I think Vegas, based on, again, Clemson was favored in every single game up until the Louisville, I think.
Yeah.
So I think Vegas would give us 8.5, but 7.5 is.
Yeah. Well, I tear it now at 8.5, I'd go under.
100%. Yeah. Oh, yeah, give me that right now.
Yeah. Austin says, I agree about he talks about Vecina, and I talked about how $1 million will make a wide receiver come back no matter who the quarterback is. He goes, I know, I want a quarterback too. This is just a coping mechanism. Look, man, the head coach has a chance to be right too. He might prove us all wrong. We'll see. The proof will be in the pudding. 2670 says, we haven't had an offensive scheme, and that changes from week to week. If you get too much of an identity, if you don't get too much identity, you're dead in the water. You'll have an identity with Chad Morris now. It's going to be fast and furious. I think the run game would be better. I think that – I told you, one of the biggest things that coordinators do that I think that they've been lacking there is the leadership in the meeting rooms and holding guys accountable and a stronger voice. Like Tom Allen, part of the reason why Wes Goodwin is not here right now is because he couldn't command the room. And Tom Allen, in that defensive staff meetings, he's commanding the room. And I don't think I'm surprised by this, but I don't think that Streeter or Garrett Riley had that command of the room and holding the other assistants accountable. And I think Chad Morris will do that. 61-66 on our Adams and Kirby text line. I'm seeing a definite turn among college football and my friends. In my 40s, and we're doing all we can to survive and put the astronomical price to attend on anything and ridiculous money being given to 18-year-olds. The college football from my youth is dead and gone, and when people turn, I don't know how to get them back like NASCAR never has. Did athletes deserve more of a slice of the pie? Yes. But this much? Good question. They were getting a big slice of the pie. They were getting – see, that's one of the misconceptions. Like the numbers, and I don't know them exactly, but the numbers are something like the athletic departments were grossing $130 million a year, but they were spending $129 million a year. You know, these planes that they take, these charter planes they take, they aren't free. Someone told me Alabama's not chartering planes for every away trip this year.
Oh,
Alabama basketball.
Correct. Yeah, yeah. They're taking commercial flights.
And they're leaving walk-ons at home now for road games?
Yes.
And that not all the managers and all that going to road games now?
They're doing that to save, what, like $10,000 a game?
But you do it 10 times, that's $100,000.
Yeah.
So here's the misconception was, oh, man, all these money, the NCAA is making all this money. NCAA is making all this money. Well, the NCAA wasn't making the money. And the fact of the matter is that those charter flights they were taking, those hotels, the meals, the insurance, those aren't free. All the support people around them, all the strength and conditioning coaches, all the nutritionists, all the doctors, all the orthopedic doctors, all the dentists, all the dentist visits, all the optometrist visits, all the chiropractic visits, like those aren't free. The equipment. How about the stadiums you're playing in, the coliseums you're playing in, the upkeep for all of that, the weight room stuff you're doing in, the dorms that you're giving, the tuition that you're giving. And on top of that, they're making about $50,000 or $60,000 a year when it came to their cost of attendance. And to be honest with you, it's hard talking to – can you look up average salary in the United States right now?
Average salary? I'll look it up. I think it's about – I want to say it's like 72.
All right. What do you think the average listener this morning, the average salary of the listener this morning is?
The national average is 63,000. Okay. This was in 2024. Average listener in the upstate, I would say 50,000.
I'd say more than that.
In the upstate?
Yeah.
I hope
to
so.
To this show. We have very, very
we do have
highly
upstarts.
Thought of in the business world. But the point is, you're telling these 18-year-old kids making as much as is some of our listeners are making? Before?
Before.
Before.
Yeah.
And now, I saw a great one yesterday said that if Chandler Morris follows his dad's going to make 1.2, and if Chandler Morris came, he'd make more than his dad. Like, what? Anyway, I've tooted that horn forever. Texture said, what's the deal with Denson? Is he returning? If so, it could be an option at quarterback. He is returning to our knowledge, but it's a long way to go. Let's not forget that Denson was committed to Coastal Carolina. I think the misconception from the Furman game is, oh, man, they've got the next Cam Newton. Because he looked good against Furman. Ran the ball against Furman, threw four passes against Furman. He's got a long way to go. He's got an awful long way to go. Texture sent me this. The average salary in Pickens County is $28,891. Football players are making twice that. And now they're making millions. And to come on the radio and go, oh, they need more money. No, that's a hard sell, man. I'm talking to my constituency. Is you is or is you ain't my constituency? Let me get Dave in Simpsonville, 654 Roar. Good morning, Dave. Thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Oh, brother, where art thou? I love what you just said. That was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
that was great.
By the way, here today, we aren't one at a time, and we're mass communicating. So just making sure. Yeah.
Well, and let's don't forget, you brought up Denson. He did it in the fourth quarter against a very tired Furman football team that had just gotten beaten up by an average offensive line and an average quarterback. Yeah. Hey, you know, when you talk about Chad Morris coming in, what coaches is he going to plan on working through? Has any of that even been broached? You know, what are we looking at do we take C.J. Spiller and put him up in Paul Journey? Do we thank him and send him on up and sit him with Jeff Davis? Do we appreciate Tyler Grisham for all his hard work, but we're going to go somewhere else? And, you know, what is this coaching staff going to look like under Chad Morris? And I'll take it off.
Hey, let me ask you one quick question before you go. Do you feel as bad as you sound?
Man, let me tell you something. I do, but I'm still heading out to the rock quarry because I got to make big rocks. I got to make little rocks out of big rocks.
Okay.
All right. So I got my sledgehammer, got my gloves, and we're going to go out there and just crack rock.
All right, tell Mr. Slate I said hello. Take care.
All right.
I think this. Look, Spiller has to recruit better and get more out of the running backs, more out of the run game. And Grisham's got to get his guys, A, catching the football better, and more physical. Simple as that. And the hope is that Chad Morris will demand that from both those guys. Texture says, 60-40 says, Denson gives me the Woody vibes. Woody Denson was a much more accomplished passer come off of Orangeburg Wilkinson High School than Denson is. I think people are going to be surprised about how long it's going to take Denson to get in the passing game. I think you're going to see a surprise there. Let's take a short break. We'll come back. Dr. Milt Louder joins us. A Moment with Milt from Amplus.com, our sports and performance psychologist. I'll ask you about New Year's resolutions, and you can text in your questions as well right after this.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio.
ZipRecruiter.
Do summer projects your way with 4th of July savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can make the most of summer grilling and dig into gardening. Plus, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like power tools and storage to tackle any last-minute garage project. Summer your way with 4th of July savings from The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select and stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Did you know the IRS is hiring thousands of new revenue officers, leading to more audits and levies? If you have outstanding taxes, these changes could bring added stress and trouble your way. Take action now before things get worse. Let David Green at Green Law Firm help you resolve your tax issues before the IRS comes knocking. Call Green Law Firm today at 864-271-7940. That's 864-271-7940. Or visit greenlaw.legal. Act now and enjoy peace of mind tomorrow.
Hey Tiger fans, I'm Morgan Coleman, proud Clemson soccer alum and upstate native. I may have hung up my cleats, but now spend my time assisting buyers and sellers in the Greenville, South Carolina area. My goal is to provide my clients peace of mind during one of the most important decisions of their life. It's important to have early conversations with a trusted realtor to help navigate the current market. If you are considering buying or selling, let's chat. Call me at 864-313-7639 or search Morgan Coleman Real Estate online to get started.
2008 was an incredible year for me and my family. Not only was it the year that I became head coach at Clemson, but it was also the year that I found the only dealership I need for sales and service. Toyota of Easley is my kind of place. If you are considering the purchase of a new or used vehicle or need your current vehicle serviced or repaired, then I encourage you to go see the winning team at Toyota of Easley. Be sure and tell them Dabo sent you.
Hey, hon, what's a Vermeer?
Really? Come on, everybody knows that. Vermeer builds vacuum excavation equipment that's changing how underground utility construction is done from right here in Greenville. Soft dig trenchless innovation that can expose underground utility lines without harming them, leaving a softer environmental impact than harsher, more traditional digging methods.
Whoa, you're smart.
Yep, everybody knows that too.
Visit Vermeer.com/dig to see what everyone's talking about.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the five counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
We don't whisper opinions. We deliver them at full volume.
They do not know how to whisper.
105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Lay back and smell the sun, warm up the Georgia pie. Feels so good to be taking it easy. Why would I ever leave? 'Cause I know I got some good friends that live down the street. Got a good looking woman with her arms around me. Here in a small town where it feels like home. I got everything.
Welcome back. Glad to have you with us, Engineer Sleep. Got my Engineer Sleep bed last night, curled up, cuddled up. Got my kids up in the bed and wife in the bed. And I give them a hard time because I said, y'all really don't know how to sleep because all y'all do is just talk the whole time. We got to go to bed. Anyway, made it so comfortable. Feels so good this morning. Need to check and see what my sleep score was last night because, man, I just feel like $1 million today. I love Engineer Sleep Bed. Go get the ES Duo, the best mattress in the world from friends at Engineer Sleep. Find out why it's going to save you money in the short term and long term, and you get the best quality ever made in a mattress. 333 North Pleasantburg Drive. 100-night sleep trial, free local delivery. They'll take your old mattress off. EngineerSleep.com. A moment with Milt, Dr. Milt Lauder, sports and performance psychologist, Amplus.com. Good morning, Dr. Lauder. How you doing?
Oh, great. And Mickey, I also got my engineered sleep mattress. I slept pretty good last night. There I think go. Every mattress I have is an engineered sleep mattress.
Oh, man. I love hearing that. Smart people, man. I like doing what smart people do. So whatever you do, I'm going to follow you around. Like the guy that followed Michael Jordan around and bought stock in every company that Jordan was at, restaurants or whatever, that's what I'm going to do. Just follow you around and do all of that. Talk to me about New Year's resolutions. We talked about this before, the stat about how long they last and how can we make them last. Are they important or not? The documentation of them. Give me a little rundown of what I know about New Year's resolutions.
Yeah, Mickey, I'm glad you asked. We just did two podcasts, one reflecting on the past year that came out, I think, right before Christmas, and two, preparing for the new year. And so I think sometimes it's hard to set a resolution. Well, before I get too far along, I think calling it a resolution makes it more difficult to achieve. Oh. I think it leaves it, it's black or white, it's absolute, it leaves no room for gray. So resolution, I absolutely am not going to do this, this is what I'm going to do. I think it adds more pressure to the situation. So the first time you don't get up and work out, the first time you break your the habit, you fall back into the habit that you're trying to break, you kind of give up on the resolution. And so to me, it's, hey, what are our goals? Who am I trying to become? What are the lessons I learned last year? What were the variables that were present when I was at my best, when I was inspired? Who are the people that I really want to grow closer to in 2026? So I think it starts a resolution per se, or a goal per se, or a vision per se, has to start with a healthy reflection. And I think one of the reasons we don't accomplish what we set out to accomplish is there's a lot of research. One, we don't kind of put a lot of time or thought or intentionality into who we're trying to become. We're trying to play somebody else's game or live up to somebody else's expectations. And so that's the first part, is taking some time to reflect, review, meaningfully asking meaningful and deep questions. We have some really good questions. I hate to promote the podcast, but we have some really good questions that you can dive into and really take some time to reflect. And then two, you know, we set too many goals. We don't really write them down. We state them to a lot of people, and we don't create a process for how we're going to achieve the goal, and we don't change the environment. You know, we just wake up on New Year's Day, it's like, hey, this is the year I'm finally going to get in shape. This is the year I'm finally going to finish my degree. This is the year I'm finally going to become who I want to become. And I don't really think about it, and I don't create a process of how I'm going to achieve it.
The first part I heard of that is you said a healthy review. We have so much, like our own self-awareness is a major issue, obviously. Our self-scouting, we can put it in sports terms, is not very good there. Should you enroll others when it comes to your personal stuff or obviously advice from a business standpoint? Like, will others be more honest with us? Could they help?
Yeah, they absolutely can help. I think if you ask it in the right way and you have the right relationship.
Right.
You know, we use a lot of evaluations, whether it's in sports or in business, you know, the 360 evaluations where we're trying to get insight and perspective. And I think the questions that are hard to ask but are meaningful is, what's it feel like to be loved by me? What's it feel like to be connected to me? What do you see as some of my greatest challenges? If I could only do this. And I think as you invite that support and you have people who love you and encourage you and you're willing to be vulnerable, one, that's only going to build a closer connection. Two, it's going to help you get a clearer grasp of a clearer picture of the gaps and deficiencies that you really want to improve.
Should we be more small picture, big picture? You talk about asking questions. One of the questions I hear you ask often is, what is success? How would you define success? Do we need to think in the broad terms? Are those more helpful in these revisions? Or do we need to concentrate on a much smaller picture and much more detailed?
I think it's both. I think you got to have the big picture of, what are your beliefs? What are your core beliefs? What are your values? How do you define success? Those are the questions that I think help guide your life, of how you want to live your life and how you kind of create your life so you minimize regret. And so as you kind of build that big picture, then you got to break it down. You know, we do our goal setting process of kind of an outcome goal, a performance goal, and a process. So the outcome is a little bit of a big picture, not as big as you're talking about, but say, hey, I want to get in shape or I want to be healthier. That's an outcome. The performance is, how am I going to measure that? You know, what's my weight? What's my blood pressure? What's my heart rate? You know, how much stronger am I getting? And then the process, those are the things I can control. And, Mickey, that's where you really break it down to a granular level. here are the day-to-day tasks I'm going to commit to that are within my control, that if I commit fully to those, success will find me because I'm too busy to be looking for it.
We had talked in the past, and I want a reminder of this, about the importance of like the recording of it, writing it down and keeping up with it. I'll let you speak to that.
Yeah, the brain is very lazy and very efficient. And so if I don't have constant reminders of what I'm going to do and what I'm trying to accomplish and who I'm trying to become, the brain is going to automatically throw me back into my old habits, my old patterns, my old ways. I see something, I hear something, and it just wants to throw me back into doing what I've always done. And the only way to disrupt that, the only way to change a negative thought is to have a new thought. To change a negative behavior is to create a new behavior. So to overcome the brain's automaticity, writing it down, reviewing it, changing the self-image of who you think you are in your mind helps paint that picture, helps build confidence, and helps you commit to the things you said you were going to do.
I saw this the other day. I'm gonna shift gears a little bit. But I saw this the other day, and I wanted to get your thoughts on it. Kirk Cignetti says we spend an hour 35 to an hour 45 on the practice field. He talks about keeping it fresh, getting his guys out there, and the attention span and things on these lines. It does speak to attention span a little bit. Meantime, I've been to football practices over the last 50 years of watching football practices, and some of them are 3 hours long and all that. What's your thought about Cignetti and that briefer or you know, doing less of it, but doing it better for an hour and 35 minutes instead of the maybe double that of what we've seen in the past in some places?
You know, I think the timing matters, and I think what part of the season are you doing that? And so obviously install and training camp and those things, you're grinding, you're trying to put in a ton of information. But I like the idea. John Wooden was a master of this, is starting to cut the practice time in half. So you had their full attention. And so what you're trying to train the brain, and what I hear Cignetti saying is how he's trying to train the brain, is we can go full speed, every rep, high tempo, high intensity, high aggression for an hour and 45 minutes. And it's going to be crisp, and that's how we run our practices. It's going to be crisp, it's going to be sharp. And we're going to train our brains that we show up on the field, we're ready to work.
All right, what do you make of him? He's a process guy, he's a Saban guy. What do you notice when you hear Kirk Cignetti, when you watch him, or when you watch him, you know, or listen to him in his press conferences?
You know, I haven't had the pleasure of doing that a lot, but the things I hear, I really like. I think, you know, we talk about playing free or coaching free. And the first characteristic is kind of knowing what you believe and having the courage to live and coach like you believe. And so when I hear him talk, he's a man who believes in his process. He believes in his team. He believes in the plan to win, and he coaches accordingly. And so that confidence that comes from within, you know, he's an interesting guy, I think. You know, I think I saw his interview after whatever the bowl game, and his shirt's kind of halfway done. Doesn't look, he's got a bare chest going.
He has a quarter zip on with no shirt underneath it. You don't wear quarter zips without shirts on. What's he thinking? Anyway,
but with that, I don't think he's caught up in what other people think about him.
Yeah,
I don't think he worries about that. Yeah. And he's instilled a confidence in that team that they believe they have what it takes.
The Google Me comment, you've seen it. The other one that doesn't get enough play is, by the way, you have seen the Google Me when he says that?
I love the Google Me, yeah.
Okay. The other one that doesn't get enough play is he's introduced at an assembly hall, and he makes comments about Michigan and Ohio State to the fan base. Like, and at the time, people were like, who's this jerk, man? That Indiana never beats Michigan, never beats Ohio State, never beats Penn State.
Yeah.
But he made comments to the fan base there. Now, look, you make pep rally-type comments sometimes. I get it. But and we talk about this all the time on the show. Coaches are talking to a lot of people. He's talking to his players there. He's obviously talking to fans there. But give me an idea of what that kind of almost, I would not say arrogance, but that kind of confidence gives to fan bases and to players when they're listening to that.
Yeah, I I'm not a big fan of calling out fan bases. I think you got to play your game.
Right.
And you got, but you also, there's an art to instilling confidence, to creating a sense of pride, to creating a sense of belief. I mean, I've watched Coach Swinney do it massively over the years. So the timing matters. And for Indiana football, it had to be a massive disruption in their whole history. He had to kind of disrupt the whole paradigm of what Indiana football was, so Indiana football could be what he wanted it to be. And so you got to create those kind of talking points, I think, in times to say, oh, wait a second, I got to pay attention. What's he going to, now if he'd have come out and failed miserably, everybody would be laughing at him. And so to be able to not only talk it, but back it up, I think that's what's been the most amazing part of the story.
All right, I've got one on here. Will, help me find the one. Oh, here it is. Question for Dr. Lauder. As a supervisor, should I encourage those who I work with me to make resolutions for work, so to speak, for 26? And am I behind the eight ball, meaning I should have done that at the end of 25?
No. Again, resolutions, most of the times in corporate America, the only time we talk about goals are performance reviews.
Right.
And absolutely, I think there should be goal setting for the year. And if I'm the supervisor, I'm wanting to know how are my people getting better personally and professionally. So that harmony we want to encourage them to find between their work and their life, what's one goal they have for the new year to try to be better at home or better in their life or better on the wellness wheel that we talked about, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional, relational, behavioral. And then what's a goal at work? How are they trying to gain knowledge? How are they trying to improve? So I think those, you are not behind the eight ball. There's no magic formula to say, I got to do it on the 1st of January. Anytime you can sit down with your team and show an interest in who they are and what they're trying to accomplish, because your job as a supervisor is to meet them where they are, to get them where they want to go.
All right, I only have about a minute.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I want to run this by you. I only had a minute. But I was talking to the guy I take golf lessons from, and he's obviously a great teacher, and he had this he was at a great country club in Kansas City before. One of his guys was the CEO of H&R Block, and the guy's like 55 years old. He's one of these $20 million bonus guys, a year whenever the bonus stuff comes out. And he said, "Is H&R Block your last CEO job? Is this where you're going to retire?" And he goes, No. And I'd never heard this before, but this is interesting and kind of depressing. And I'm talking about, this is coming from a guy who's been in the same company for 28 years, all right? But he says, no, I've got to make an HR block in the first 3 to 5 years. And then I've got to move on. Because no matter how successful I am in a Fortune 500 company, they're going to fire me after 5 or 6 years, because the thought is that they've got all the great ideas I can have in 5 or 6 years, they're going to get out of me. and he says, because then somebody else is going to come in here, successful or not, and they're going to get some decent ideas out of them, but I'm going to use everything I've got. I'm going to in the first 4 or 5 years of this thing. That made me depressed that guy has that attitude. Is that right? Is there any validity to that?
Probably so. I mean, that CEO in corporate America is a cutthroat job.
Yeah.
And they're always looking for and they got to deliver value to the shareholders.
Yeah.
And so if they think you lose it, you don't have much runway. But I think what you're saying is, what's discouraging is to walk into it knowing I only got 3 years. And
yeah.
So kind of the gloom and doom that comes with that, the pressure that comes with that, there isn't a whole lot of freedom in that process.
But is it, no matter how good or how bad I do, I don't have 5 years. Man, really? Yeah, because they've got the most they can get out of me anyway.
But I that's a limiting belief that may or may not be true, and probably the odds are most CEOs don't last that long in publicly traded companies.
Yeah.
But what we would encourage from the mindset is, okay, it would be, if that's the end in mind, how can I be the best I can be every day for 5 years?
Yeah.
And what will that look like? And so if I accept, we talked about the best warrior dies before he goes to battle, if I accept death, then I fight to live. If I accept losing, I play to win. If I accept, okay, I got 5 years, then I'm going to have the freedom to be the best that I can be for 5 years, and hopefully that's good enough. That's the mindset we would want to encourage.
I like that quote. Give it to me one more time. If I accept losing.
Oh, the best warrior dies before he goes to battle. meaning if he accepts death, he fights to live. If I accept, hey, I may get beat, then I play to win. And there's a huge difference between playing to win and playing not to lose.
I could put it in Southern terms for you. You ready for this one? Ain't scared. Yeah. Ain't scared.
Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Hey, tell me
ain't
about
scared.
Ain't scared. Give me amplus.com. What are we doing in 26?
Oh, Mickey, we got big dreams and big goals, and you know, we're kind of reviewing our year as we speak and trying to practice what we preach and say, okay, where do we think we can improve internally, and who do we think we can impact externally? Where are the places that we seem to find success? What kind of companies, what kind of organizations seem to buy into our philosophy? And, you know, it's easy for us because the companies who value people and performance, who value well-being and performance, who care about who people are and what they do, those are the opportunities that we really love to connect with people. And so that's where we're trying to be more mindful and intentional, trying to grow our team so we can kind of narrow our focus and increase our depth. And so those are the opportunities and goals we have for 2026.
I don't give you much advice, but the auditor says undershirts are for 12-year-old kids. Adults don't wear undershirts. But I can tell you this. You wear stuff under quarter zips. Milt Lauder, if I ever catch you wearing a quarter zip without a shirt on, I'm calling you out in public. I'm sorry. I'm sorry it's going to happen.
Well, at least, and especially, Mickey, if I have it zipped halfway down my chest.
So, chest hair. Yeah, I don't want to see your chest hair.
Completely.
Yeah. Have a great one, my friend. I always enjoy it and can't wait to visit with you next week.
Yeah, you too. Thanks, Mickey.
All right, buddy. Much more right after this.
It was just a few years back that I was trying to understand why my body wasn't cooperating. Then my great friends at PhD Weight Loss helped me to realize that it's not my fault. Losing weight is getting harder and harder. I was eating better. I was moving more. But my body just wasn't responding the way it used to. That's not willpower. That's metabolism. For many people just like me, years of dieting quietly slows the metabolic system down, so the harder I tried, the less progress I was making. But at PhD Weight Loss, they help people identify what's actually blocking fat loss and fix the root cause, not just the calories. If you want to better understand why your body isn't cooperating, call PhD Weight Loss now and mention Fix My Weight Loss to unlock this great New Year's special. It's free, it's personalized, and it could explain everything. Call 864-644-1900 and say Fix My Weight Loss. That's 864-644-1900.
When your motors stop, your production does too. That's why companies like EMCOR rely on Industrial Motor Service.
Excellent customer service and highly knowledgeable staff. Taylor and the team are extremely quick to respond with solutions. I highly recommend Industrial Motor Service for all your motor needs.
When your business depends on reliable motors and fast repairs, count on the team trusted by industry pros for decades, Industrial Motor Service. Visit industrialmotorservice.com to learn more. Industrial Motor Service. Keeping your business moving.
Upstate Cycling Greenville is celebrating 46 years in business. Come check out our kids' ATVs and dirt bikes. We also have bikes for riders who are still kids at heart, ranging from entry level all the way to off-road racing, dual sport, and adventure riding. We carry brands like Beta, Cobe, SSR, and many more. Delivery is available, and don't forget to ask about layaway plan. Mention the Roar FM to receive $50 off our best price. Call 864-232-7223 for more info today.
Blue and white trucks rolling down the street, fixing pipes and wires that can't be beat. From the upstate hills to the valley low, Ace Plumbing's a name everybody knows. Ace Home.
Friends and family are coming over to your place for the next big game. Everything has to be right, so when your comfort and reputation are on the line, don't leave it to chance. Bring in the experts in the bold white and blue trucks. Visit acehomeco.com for all your plumbing, HVAC, and electrical needs.
Clemson fans, whether you are buying or selling a house or just protecting your home as a future investment, you need a contractor you can truly trust. At Crawlspace Medic, we are locally owned by a Clemson Engineering alum and we provide fast reports, itemized estimates, and zero sales pressure. We offer free inspections for homeowners and real estate agents, all completed by certified techs. Partner with CrawlSpace Medic today for that free inspection.
The Mickey Plyler Show, forming the Upstate since circa 1834. Dang, that is old. Monday through Friday, right here on The Roar, where every day is game day.
Then you tossed your phone into that winter water cooler. I pretty much fell in love right then.
Grammy Award winning. Lucas Nelson. Man, listen to that guitar, man. It's a great song, isn't it?
Honestly, right. Yeah. A lot of the elements that you
were skeptical when I talked about Lucas Nelson this morning.
I'm skeptical of a lot.
Okay.
Everything, really.
Okay. He's also written a Grammy Award winning for the Star Is Born stuff, but also written more songs for Lady Gaga. And Lucas Nelson's talented. Let me hear on our text line if you've got any Lucas Nelson fans out there. Let's try to talk Will Clanton into being a Lucas Nelson fan. And it's a wide variety of topics. That's Willie Nelson's son, Lucas Nelson. So good stuff, man. Good stuff. Hey, my great friends over at Harbin Lumber in my it's not in my neighborhood, but as I come out of my neighborhood, as we come out of our neighborhoods, Will Clanton, because we live in separate neighborhoods but kind of close to each other, you'll see two houses now that I know that have the Harbin Lumber wrap around it, and that Harbin Lumber's obviously doing a great job with. One thing I failed at yesterday, I did not call Wes. Wes, if you're listening, you will get a text from me today. I want to move forward with our project. And so let's go. My man, Wes, the Michelangelo of cabinets. We're going to do some cabinet work. We're going to do we're going to get a pantry, and we're going to do a cooktop, and we're going to do some stuff in our kitchen. This is my second time with them, and I will tell you this. I knew it before I did any business with them, because I trusted the people that did do business with them, all my builders, remodelers, handymen that I knew. And then I did business with them, and everything was reiterated to me just how good they are. It's Harbin Lumber. Think about it. HarbinLumber.com. Harbin Lumber. Remember the number. 353-5053. 353-5053. 7780 says that Willie and Lucas's version of Pearl Jam's Just Breathe is top notch. I agree with that. I've heard that. That's very, very good. Late Murray Michael says, a man who wears a quarter zip without a t-shirt under it, or a golf shirt, deserves to begin his chest hairs caught in a zipper when he zips it up. Ouch. I have one chest hair story for you.
I thought you were going to say I have one chest hair.
No.
I'm glad you continued. Yeah. And please continue.
Now, a friend of mine looks like when he takes a shirt, looks like he has a black sweater on. He's that guy. I'm not that guy. I got a little soul patch down there, right? Anyway, Arnold Palmer, right? One of the greatest golfers ever, was an intimidating man. Physically intimidating the guys, right? Hit it so much farther than everybody back then. And, you know, back in those days, back in the 60s, you see these guys with their shirts buttoned down a little bit, unbuttoned a little bit longer, right? And they said that Palmer would intimidate some of these young guys. Because, you know, you pick up grass off the ground and you throw it up in the air and you see which way the wind blows. Some guys do it with, like, cigarettes, like you see which way the smoke's blowing. But a lot of times you pluck a couple of blades of grass out of the ground, you throw it up. Not Palmer. They said he'd reach down, pluck some chest hairs up and throw them.
Was that Les Miles instead of
yes,
reaching down,
yes,
eating
yes.
the grass, plucks yeah. his own chest hairs
out of there for sure. 9170 says, what do you hear? What do you say? Yeah, little Paulie, little Sopranos. I need to watch Sopranos again. Need to watch that for sure. 654-ROAR, 654-7627. We've got a lot of news here. I told you, Elliot Washington II, a defensive back, I should say, that played at Penn State is now coming to Clemson. Transfer portal addition in his 3 years in Happy Valley. 53 tackles, 9 pass deflections, 2 interceptions in his 3 seasons there. Played with Tom Allen in the 24 playoff team and was the ranked as high as number 192 and 247 in the transfer portal. So the first of the transfer portal guys that have committed to Clemson. And now this takes add one, lose one, because Clemson found out that Rowan Byrne, offensive lineman, that is now not coming to not going to stay at Clemson. He's in the transfer portal. Reserve offensive lineman, played in one game this past year. And it would give you a little, if I just gave it in context here, bear with me, and I'll tell you how many snaps that he played. But Rowan Byrne was a reserve offensive lineman that really just hadn't played a whole lot at Clemson yet, but could have developed, I feel like. I feel it's too early to give up on him as of yet. But Rowan Byrne, for snaps in the one game he played against Furman and he played 2 snaps. So he redshirted this year, and 1 game, 2 snaps for him. Telephone number 654-ROAR. We get some phone calls here in this segment. Clemson is bringing in right now, official visitor-wise. So you get 4 guys go to the NFL draft, 2 defensive linemen in Woods and Parker, a defensive back in Terrell, and 1 wide receiver in Williams. In the portal, that was the first of the offensive linemen in Rowing leaving. Rowan, I should say, leaving. And so I think that is now 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 guys in the portal leaving. Adams at running back, Sapp at tight end, Rowan offensive lineman, Green, Story, Dixon, and Thompson on the defensive line, Creighton and Anderson at linebacker, and Lewis, Barnes, Billings, and Jones in the secondary. You have an offensive lineman coming to town from Georgia Southern, all-conference offensive lineman, some but all-conference, in Johnny Brown. 3 defensive tackles coming in right now, Courtney Kelly from West Georgia, Jason Jenkins from Florida State, and Josh Huff from Cal College up in Pennsylvania. 2 linebackers we know that will be visiting. One is there now, I think, Mate Tagoia from Southern Cal. Correct me if I'm wrong in saying that. Tagoia. And Dexter Foster from Oregon State. I wanted to say 2 Pac-12 guys, but Southern Cal's in the Big Ten now. And so far we know of 5 more defensive backs that have scheduled official visits to Clemson. I really like this Jerome Carter from Old Dominion, Edwin Joseph from Florida State, Chris Bracey from Memphis, Lyric Rawls from Kansas, and Corey Myrick from Southern Miss. To be honest with you, I went and watched film over the weekend of all 5 of those guys, and I think they're better than they had last year. Now, that ain't like you got to come in and beat up Ronnie Lott, right? But looked pretty good to me, man. Looked pretty good to me. No Sean Taylor's back there right now, but those guys looked better on film at least. And I know those are all different levels. Again, Florida State and Memphis, Kansas, Southern Miss, Old Dominion among those 5 guys. Kevin is in Fountain Inn. Kevin, thanks for hanging on. How you doing?
Hey, Mickey, Happy New Year.
You too, buddy.
Listen, this transfer portal thing, I want to call Indiana Transfer Portal University.
Yeah.
I think they need to change their name to that. And I believe a lot of coaches have bought into that concept. There are, you know, a few that can operate outside of that being their main focus for developing a roster. But it's getting harder and harder to do that. You have players asking for 6 years of eligibility.
Yeah.
You know, in college, these guys are 23 and 24, 20-some, 25-year-old, still playing college ball. And it's difficult to offer a scholarship to an 18-year-old when you got a 23-year-old man you could offer that scholarship to and have instant, you know, fill a gap, so to speak. I've also heard a lot of comments from my Clemson fans about the hiring of Chad Morris. I say it's a good hire. If you take his track record of what he did, you know, a decade ago, he can make it happen. You got to develop a few players in the mold. But other than that, I think this guy is a good hire. It's a good move for Dabo. It's a relaxing move. You know, you don't have a lot of unknowns with Chad Morris, right? You kind of have been through the process with him before. As for my Gamecocks, they continue to struggle with keeping their roster intact. I had a feeling this was going to happen. They were going to lose more than they could bring in, and they're really going to be hurting on the offensive line. I don't see it getting much better for them.
I'm going to ask Tony Morrell that coming up in a couple of minutes about losing eight guys. And I know that a couple of those guys they didn't want to lose. Now, some of the guys you wanted to lose. And so, about the portal, I do like the fact that you can thin the herd a little bit. And you need those scholarships and you need those spots available and those monies available for other guys out this way. But the guys you want to keep, it certainly hurts you. And right now, we'll have to see when it's all said and done. But right now, there's some holes to fill at South Carolina due to the portal. Not that Josiah Thompson or Ball or Bobolato, those guys were great, but you still – let me know who they're going to get before we judge it, though, and I'll ask Tony about that coming up.
And, you know, with the Gamecocks, man, I was hoping we'd make a push for the great Mark Stoops to come in there and be the defense coordinator. I thought he'd be the perfect hire. You know, they seem to have went Penn State route. You know, they've taken a lot of defensive coaches from Penn State, which we'll see how that works out. But I'm also want to comment on my last thing, Mickey. The Falcons cleaning house, and I'm reading that Matt Ryan is going to be the president of operations. I like it. I'm a big Matt Ryan fan. I think it's a great move. And Arthur Blank needs to decide to give somebody 5 years instead of two to develop that program.
I appreciate the phone call, Kevin. Thanks an awful lot, man.
Thank you.
Have a great day there. It's hard to believe like somebody like Arthur Blank can be that successful as a businessman and make all these great business decisions. And yet, in his highest profile deal there, not very good. Hey, Prime Lending, PrimeLendingSC.com. Let Mark, Amanda, the good folks take care of you. You know, you want to get the very best when it comes to your mortgage. They can do this for you, refinancing, remodeling. My good friend over there across the way says you got to have three estimates. Get in touch with Prime Lending. Let them take care of that for you. If they're one of your three, you'll choose them. They will separate themselves. Give them a shot at your business. The very best mortgage rates out there can be found at Prime Lending and PrimeLendingSC.com. We'll talk Gamecock Transfer Portal with Tony Morrell when hour number three kicks off right after this.